The silence in the Dublin office didn't happen all at once. It wasn't like a light switch flipping off. It was more like a slow, freezing fog that rolled in from the executive floor and settled over our desks until you couldn't see a foot in front of your own career. One Monday, we were talking about expansion, bonuses, and who was heading up the new EMEA division. By Friday, the memo came down. A total freeze. Not just on hiring, but on every single promise ever made in a performance review. I'd spent 3 years dragging myself up the ladder at that firm, skipping bank holidays and staying until the cleaning crew started mopping under my feet. I was supposed to be senior lead by March. That title wasn't just a pay rise for me. It was the only thing I had to show for a social life that had completely evaporated. Then, suddenly, the ladder wasn't just stuck. It was gone. And that's when the air in the building changed. When there's no more room at the top, people stop looking up and start looking at the person sitting next to them like they're a piece of meat standing in the way of a meal. Ambition is a funny thing. When it's rewarded, it looks like hard work. When it's starved, it turns into something feral. I watched colleagues. I used to grab pints with start hoarding information like it was gold. Small talk died. In its place came this frantic, desperate politeness that made my skin crawl. We were all terrified. The Irish tech scene isn't as big as it looks, and if you weren't moving forward, you were essentially dying in the water. That was the atmosphere when I started noticing how Liam, the head of operations, was suddenly the most popular man in the building. Liam was old-school Dublin leadership. Thick-necked, expensive suits that couldn't quite hide the fact that he'd grown up fighting for space. And a smile that never actually reached his eyes. He held the keys to the only three exceptions to the promotion freeze. 3 slots. 50 applicants. I saw Sarah from marketing leaving his office at 7 in the evening, smoothing her skirt with a look on her face that wasn't about spreadsheets. A week later, her exception was confirmed. The rest of us sat in the canteen, picking at our salads, knowing exactly what the currency had become. It wasn't about KPIs anymore. It wasn't about who brought in the most revenue. It was about who was willing to provide the most leverage. I told myself I wouldn't do it. I told myself I had too much pride, too much history in this industry to trade myself for a title. But then came the second announcement. Redundancies were being considered for anyone not on the fast-track list. Fear is a powerful aphrodisiac for bad decisions. One rainy Tuesday, I found myself standing outside Liam's glass-walled office. The lights in the rest of the floor were dimmed, casting long, sharp shadows across the open-plan graveyard of empty desks. I didn't go in there to talk about my quarterly reports. I went in there because I realized that in a world where the rules are broken, you start using whatever weapons you have left. He knew why I was there before I even sat down. He didn't even look up from his laptop at first. He just let the silence stretch, letting me marinate in my own desperation until I felt small enough to handle. When he finally looked at me, it wasn't the look of a boss. It was the look of a man who knew exactly how much my dignity was worth on the open market. "It's a tight year, Savon," he said, his voice dropping into that low, conspiratorial rumble he used when he was about to screw someone over. "A lot of talented people are going to be looking for work by Christmas." I felt the bile rise in my throat, but I forced a smile. I leaned forward, just enough to let the silk of my blouse catch the light. I hate that I remember the exact moment I decided to cross the line. I hate even more that for a second, the power shift felt like a relief. We didn't talk about work after that. We talked about loyalty. We talked about what it takes to be a team player when things get difficult. He walked around the desk, and I didn't move. I didn't flinch when his hand stayed a second too long on my shoulder. I just thought about my mortgage, my empty apartment, and the 3 years I refused to let go to waste. The next month was a blur of late-night strategy sessions and private briefings. The exception for my promotion was signed off within 10 days. I got the title. I got the raise. I also got the looks from the other girls in the office, the ones who knew the game but hadn't played it yet, or the ones who had and lost. The promotion freeze eventually lifted, but the office never went back to normal. The trust was dead. We'd turned the workplace into a marketplace where the only thing being traded was ourselves. I reached the top of that ladder. But standing there, looking down at everyone else, I realized I'd climbed up into a cage. I have the title now. I have the senior lead plaque on my desk. But every time I look at Liam across a boardroom table, I see the man who owns me, and he knows it. I thought I was using sex as leverage to save my career. It took me 6 months to realize that all I did was give him a permanent discount on my soul. There's no such thing as a free promotion when the company is broke. You always pay, you just don't always pay in cash.